Omaha Public Radio presents a lecture program from the University of Nebraska at Omaha on Noon Forum. In 2 weeks, on Monday, August 21st at midday, a total solar eclipse will take place in a large part of Nebraska. On today's program, we'll hear a talk by Kate Russo, a clinical psychologist and author of several books on the phenomenon of the total solar eclipse, including Total Addiction, The Life of an Eclipse Chaser, Totality, The Total Solar Eclipse of 2012 in Far North Queensland, and Being in the Shadow, Stories of the First Time Total Solar Eclipse Experience. She'll speak on the topic, Total Solar Eclipse, Not Just for Geeks and Bearded Men with Telescopes. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, June 27, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the University of Nebraska at Omaha, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the speaker is John Johnson, Coordinator of Astronomy Outreach Activities for the Omaha Astronomical Society.
We're going to be enthralled by a presentation by Dr. Kate Russo, a renowned eclipse chaser, doctor of psychology, and author. So without any further ado, it's with great honor and extreme pleasure I introduce Dr. Kate.
Hi, everyone. Hi. I've been in Nebraska for about 8 or 9 days now, and I've been so overwhelmed at how friendly everybody is. And so I'm actually from Australia. I'm Australian, and there's so many similarities between us Aussies and you Nebraskans. Is that how you say it? And that's so bad who I said that. G'day. Yes, I live in Belfast in Northern Ireland, so I think some people expect to hear an Irish accent, and then I come on talking with my very Australian accent and throw them all. So I am absolutely delighted to be here talking with you all today, well, this evening. I wasn't planning on coming to Omaha, but I'm flying out tomorrow, and when I saw the opportunity that I could perhaps do a public lecture here, I was able to just, plant a few seeds, and the amazing team here have been able to put together a lecture very quickly. So I'm delighted that you've given up your evening to listen to me. And I think my role really is about trying to communicate that the eclipse experience is for everybody. You don't need to be a geek or a bearded man with a telescope. And I see, looking at the audience, I need to apologize to a few bearded men with telescopes. I apologize. So a bit of background about what I do. I am an eclipse chaser. I have seen 10 total solar eclipses, and this has taken me almost 18 years to do that. So this is going to be my 11th total solar eclipse. There's nowhere in the world I will not go to experience totality, and this is how amazing it is, okay? I'm not a bearded man with a telescope. I'm an ordinary person, and it's so cool. I am also a psychologist, so I've spent 20 years working in Northern Ireland in my profession, most of that in clinical settings, in hospital settings with children, but also as an academic for 6 years at Queen's University, Belfast. And I'm an expert in phenomenological research. And that's what I then use to apply to the research that I do of the eclipse experience. So along with that, I also am involved with community eclipse planning. So since 2012, I have gone into communities before a total eclipse and have shared what it's like, because people on the ground often do not know what it's like and what's to come. So that's what I tend to do. And I also have been an eclipse consultant for eclipse coordinator for the Faroe Islands for the 2015 total solar eclipse, which was visible there. So I'm very well aware of what happens, what you need to be planning for, all the issues related to how many people are coming, the traffic concerns, the accommodation. So I've been there in that position too. And in 2015, I also wrote a white paper on community eclipse planning. And this is because there's over 1,000 communities across the path of totality in the US who are planning for the total solar eclipse. and they haven't really had experience in doing this. And so that was my step in actually helping all these communities across the path prepare. And I've been doing consultations with them via the internet in Belfast. So that's been pretty cool. And if I wasn't obsessed enough about eclipses, I also run eclipse tours. you'll get there by the end of the night, you'll figure out how obsessed I am with it, don't worry. So I'm leading another tour in Wyoming in the Teton Grand Teton National Park. So I'm really excited about that. There's 30 people all coming from all around the world, actually. And that's where we're viewing from. So I'm really sorry not to be viewing in Nebraska. I actually feel like I'm cheating when I say to people, like, oh, it's so great here, viewing from Nebraska, but I'm going to be over here in Wyoming. So what I would like to talk about tonight really is the focus on the experience, what it's like to experience a total solar eclipse. And I'll talk from my own personal experience of my first time and also from the research that I've been doing with people, because I've interviewed lots of people and I know it's not just me who gets a bit bit funny. Lots of people actually love it, chase eclipses too. I'll provide some essential information about this eclipse, and I'm sure you've already had this information from a whole range of sources here. And then the very exciting thing is that I'm going to launch a campaign here tonight, and you guys can be a part of that. Excited? Yeah. So you can help my campaign really get out there. And it really is about aiming for people to understand that the eclipse is a big deal, and if you can, get into the path of totality. And this is a bit of a joke, because when I started doing research in eclipse chasers, so my first project and the first book that I published, I interviewed lots of eclipse chasers and I surveyed them and I put a call out to my eclipse chasing community. I said, anyone like to take part in this? And loads of people did. They were so keen. And so I'd set up my Skype consultations and then you turn your Skype on and then the image appears of someone that's like, oh, hi, you know, bearded man. And then the next one, it's like, oh, hi, another bearded man. And then the third one, bearded man. The fourth one, and I was like, oh my God, bearded man. The fifth one, you wouldn't believe it, bearded man. The sixth one, bearded man. And the seventh, finally, it was still a man, but actually he didn't have a beard. He had a mustache, but he didn't have a beard. And so I almost had this, it was almost this joke that, you know, the eclipse chasers that we tend to see, the visible eclipse chasers, the ones who talk about it the most, tend to be the bearded man's with telescopes. But that's not all eclipse chasers are. We come from all walks of life. It's just that whenever the media focuses on eclipse stories, they tend, you know, the media like to have a visual picture. And so if you've got a whole row of people standing there with eclipse filters on, but you have one bearded man with a telescope over here, guess who they're going to focus on? It tells the story, right? So this is kind of what we see represented. And as lovely as this gentleman is, I actually do not know him, and I'm sure he's really lovely. Someone's pointing that at him. But this is the sort of image that's portrayed about who's coming into the region. And the local people often then think, well, this is not for me. I'm not into science, or I don't really know about eclipses, or I've seen an eclipse before and it's quite boring. So it's just trying to get the message across that it's not just for bearded men. And in 2012, the Path of Totality, you know, I've traveled all around the world. I've traveled to, you know, Madagascar, Mongolia, China, Turkey, Iceland, Australia twice, out near the Galapagos Islands, and I'm missing quite a few of them already. But in 2012, the Path of Totality went across my home region in North Queensland. That was pretty cool. And for the first time, I was able to go home to see a total solar eclipse. And I was able to see it with my family, and I think they finally understood why I was this really, you know, had become this weird, geeky sort of bearded man in, you know. And that was a really great experience. So I came home, and what I was doing was, that was the first time that I was involved in the community before the eclipse, because normally I would have just came as a tourist, saw the eclipse, did a few touristy things, engaged with the locals, yes, learned a bit about the culture, but I was never really involved fully in what was going on or how it was, what it was like beforehand. And so for the first time, I actually started to learn a few interesting things. I was interviewing people before the eclipse and after the eclipse because I wanted to capture that change, how people, what they think they feel is happening and then what happens to them. But when I was interviewing people, that's when I was hearing all these similar stories. People were saying, well, it's going to be too much traffic, so I'm just going to leave the region. Or people were saying that they were thinking of renting their house out, earning a bit of money, and then coming back when everything came, you know, calmed down. And a lot of people were saying, why would I bother seeing the eclipse? You know, nothing that I'm interested in. So that's when I really became quite really passionate about talking to communities. And if you know me at all, you know I can talk about eclipses forever. And I'm going to watch the time because I don't want to hold you up forever. But I really set to work with trying to do as much as I could, getting the message out there that this is an experience for everybody. This is a human experience. When you see a total solar eclipse, it doesn't matter if you understand the science behind it or not. It doesn't matter if you're not a bearded man with a telescope. It's actually a human event. It's a significant event that you will probably remember for the rest of your life. You will remember for the rest of your life. And so I spoke at cafes, markets, universities. I was on the radio all the time, TV, just anything I could do to get that message out. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen. And I'm figuring everybody here is understanding that on Monday, the 21st of August this year, it's not going to be an ordinary day, right? I know it's the first day of classes. And this is a thing because I actually don't think it should be first day of classes. I actually think everybody should have a public holiday and everybody should experience this because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing that it's happening in your location. And that's my belief. So on a very simplistic level, what's happening is that the moon is moving between the sun and the earth, and the moon's shadow is being cast on the earth. And there's two parts to this shadow. There's an outer shadow, the wider shadow, and then there's the central narrow part of the shadow. And the central part of the shadow falls across the earth and forms the path of totality. And this is a big deal because only within the path of totality will you see the total solar eclipse. Now, guess what, Omaha? You kind of know that you're just a little bit outside of the path of totality, right? So it just means that if you want to see the total solar eclipse, you have to get into the path of totality. The outer part, the wider part of the earth, the moon's shadow, allows you to see a partial eclipse. And the partial eclipse will be visible, you know, across Canada, all across the US, down Mexico, South America. So it casts over quite a wide area, and that's a partial eclipse. But the total solar eclipse, that is only visible within the path of totality. So if you stay here in Omaha, you will have a very deep partial eclipse, but you will not experience the total solar eclipse. Now, for this path of totality, it only makes landfall in North America. So if you want to see this total solar eclipse, you have to come to North America to see it. And it's the first time in almost 40 years that people in America are able to see a total solar eclipse. Anyone under the age of 40 in the US has not seen a total solar eclipse unless they've traveled away from the US. So there's a lot of people who think that they have seen a total solar eclipse. I can't begin to tell you how many people I've spoken to that they've said, oh yes, I saw one in 96 and it went really dark. And I asked where they were and they weren't in the path of totality. But people think that they were in the path of totality or that they've seen it. But people actually, there's actually been a number of partial eclipses and they're quite common. And so a lot of people actually have seen a partial solar eclipse. But it's the path of totality that's really cool. And so everybody that you know, we're all going to be cramming into this path of totality. So there are 12 million people living in this path. Huge amount of people. And there's going to be quite a few million more visiting on the day. Will you get into the path of totality, do you know? Put your hand up if you're planning on it. Oh, my word! I tell you what, that road's going to be busy, right? That's great. Okay, so the message is getting out that, you know, you can stay in Omaha and actually have a 98% partial eclipse, but it's all about the path of totality. So the path actually goes across 14 states, and it starts in Oregon and goes all the way through to South Carolina. It's about 60 miles wide, 60 to 70 miles wide. And the path of totality can be over 10,000 miles long. So very long, but very narrow. And us eclipse chasers do all we can to get somewhere within that long, narrow path. And what we do, we try and figure out where the best weather chances are and as much as possible time in during totality. Weather is first and foremost the most important thing. And so I mentioned it's the first time since 1979 that this is going to happen in the U.S. There was another eclipse that actually crossed from west to east coast as well in 1918. So you're hearing stories about that as well in the media. And what else can I say about that? Okay. So eye safety, really, really important. Because we actually have a natural reflex in our eyes that whenever we look at the sun, it's too bright and we look away. So we know not to look at the sun because it can cause us a lot of damage. But when we talk about a solar eclipse, what we're doing is that we're focusing people's attention onto looking at the sun. And this is where it can be dangerous because we're actually, you know, almost communicating, ignore that reflex and look at the sun. And we can't do that because we need to make sure that people have solar filters to be able to keep safe. So you cannot view a partial eclipse without solar filters. You will damage your eyes. So that they're really important for the partial phases. So if you stay here in Omaha, you will have to use the filters for the whole time. There's no point at which you can take your filters off to view this partial eclipse. If you're in the path of totality, however, the moon is fully covering the sun in those central bits. And that means at that point, you're able to take your solar filters off and look at it with your naked eye. And this is because the brightness of the sun's surface is actually covered by the moon. And so therefore, it's not damaging to your eyes. And this is where it's so spectacular, it's awe-inspiring, and it's incredible. It is one of the most beautiful things that you could see. And also one of the most weirdest things that you could see too. It looks very, very strange, very unusual. You're in darkness and you're seeing this where the sun should be. You're looking and thinking it just looks like a hole in the sky. It's very strange. But during the partial phases, because every total eclipse starts with a partial phase as well, but then it's those couple of moments of totality. You take your glasses off and then you put your glasses on. So this is what it looks like over time. The first contact is when the moon's, you know, you'll see a tiny little chink out of the top corner of the sun, and then it just progresses over time. And that takes about an hour or so, so it takes a fair length of time. But as time goes on, you start to notice a few interesting things around you. So I'll talk a bit more in detail about what happens. But it's all about this, the total solar eclipse, the eclipse sun. And you can see the corona, that's the outer atmosphere of the sun. That's the like silvery, shimmery, light blue. And it's just beautiful. It's the only time that you can see the solar corona with the naked eye. And it's perfectly safe to view. After you see totality, then the moon continues its journey across until another hour or so, and then the eclipse is over. So the whole sequence takes a good, you know, hour, 2 hours, 2-3 hours over the course of time. And so, Omaha, you are almost in the right place at the right time. You're here at the right time, absolutely. Because us eclipse chasers have to travel everywhere. You know, we will travel everywhere to get into the path of totality. You just have to get out of bed and just wander down the road a little bit. Join the little bit of traffic that's going to be around there too. So that you can then see the eclipse. But this is really accessible for you. So this is important that you don't miss the chance. The last time there was a solar eclipse, a total eclipse in Nebraska, was in 1954. And that was not over Omaha, but that was over the eastern part of the state. And the next time you can see a total eclipse in Nebraska is 2106. So another 89 years to go. So basically, this is your chance, right? If you don't want to travel too far, you're going to have to see this one. Or you can actually join us as eclipse chasers. Now, this is something I absolutely love. When I discovered maps that have the path of totalities for all the eclipses in the future up until 2060, I just thought I discovered my whole life plan. I love maps, and I love maps with path of totalities on them even more. I can get lost in something, and in fact, I'm looking at it now, and I've never seen it so big, and so I'm tempted just to kind of jump in there. But if you ever want to know where I am and you're looking to contact me, I would say get hold of one of those maps, check the date on it, and that's where I will be. Absolutely. So basically, if you stay in one location, any one location, the total eclipse happens once in every 375 years on average. And this is why it's called a once-in-a-lifetime experience, because most people have, you know, you don't have it in living memory. But if you travel, it's once every 18 months on average. The last total solar eclipse was in March 2016, and that was in Indonesia. The one before that was in 2015, over the Faroe Islands, quite remote Arctic region. And the next one after this is going to be in 2019, over the Pacific and South America, Chile and Argentina. So let's get into the experience. What is it like? And I'm going to start this story with a skydive. When I was younger, I actually created a list. You know, I was curious about the world, actually. So I had this desire to travel. I wanted to be an air hostess because I thought that was the most glamorous thing ever and that you could travel the world. And I had pen pals. Do you remember before the internet, we actually had to write letters and wait a long time. And it was so exciting to get a letter from somewhere around the world. So I was always fascinated with the world and nature as well. And I read stories about total eclipses, and I thought they sounded kind of cool. And I started, and we had partial eclipses where I lived as well. So I remember going to school and getting instruction on how to use solar filters. And I remember also being at home with my father looking through a welder's mask to view another partial eclipse. And so I thought, one day I'm going to see a total solar eclipse. And I started creating a little bit of they call it bucket lists now, but it was just a list of things I wanted to see and do, places I wanted to go. Skydiving was also on that list. Now, it's interesting because when I talk to people about skydiving, and I kind of say, right, you know, what do you think about this? Everybody understood that it was scary, frightening, thrilling, amazing, perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime experience, sometimes a bit more. But everyone got that idea. And the thing is that you didn't have to know or experience a skydive to actually know what it would be like. You get the idea of how terrifying it would be to jump out of a plane. Everybody seems to understand that. But when you talk about a total solar eclipse, people just think it's this. You're just standing there with your solar filters on looking up. And so when I'm saying, you know, I did a skydive, it was so exciting, but totality, seeing a total solar eclipse is even more exciting. They don't get it. And it's because it's so outside of our normal experience that we can't relate to it. We really can't relate to how different and dramatic the world turns during a total solar eclipse. So totality is not about, total eclipse is not about standing there with your solar filters on. It's actually experiencing this moment when you're plunged into darkness, the moon's shadow sweeps over you, and it's a darkness that's not pitch black. It's as dark as a full moon evening. So you definitely know you're in shadow. You can see around you. And like here, when you look above you, you can see some of the brightest stars and planets. But you can also see a light all around you on the horizon, a really subtle, like sunset colors, all the way around. It is so spectacular. So I saw, it was 1997 when I left Australia after doing lots of university degrees. I went backpacking around the world. I ended up in the UK in 1997. And then I started hearing. So the idea was I was going to stay there for a little bit, earn some more money, and just travel some more. And I actually haven't left. and that's how amazing Northern Ireland is. But I started to hear that you could see a total solar eclipse in 1999 going across Europe. And so 15 years after I first thought I was, you know, that I had it on my bucket list, I was finally able to see a total solar eclipse. And so I traveled to the coast of France to see it, from Belfast to France. And I must say, I knew enough to get into the path of totality. I had no idea about much else. I didn't even give a thought to the idea that the weather could get in the way. Didn't have a notion. But coincidentally, where I went, I saw it, which was really great. But had I gone to England, I would have missed it. But the eclipse... So we mixed it with a trip to Paris as well. So we had a bus trip, went to Paris, had a couple of days in that city, which was really amazing. And then on the way back, the bus dropped us off one morning in this French village. Lots of people around. The bus couldn't get in. We got dropped off at the edge of the village, and the bus driver said, "We'll see you here in about 4 hours or so, 5 hours." And we started walking into the village. There was like a festival feel. There were market stalls. There was all sorts of stuff going on. There was music in the background. There were bands. I think there was a radio broadcasting live from there. And we were so unprepared, we didn't even have our solar filters. But luckily enough, we were able to get them there at one of the market stalls. And we got a bottle of French wine, and it was early in the morning, so don't judge us. but we got our bottle of wine, and we made our way to the seafront where everyone was really gathering. And the crowds were huge. There was a huge crowd of people. And it just felt like a really big festival feel. It was so exciting. And we sat down, and we made ourselves comfortable. And we started, getting into our breakfast wine. And it, you know, we were just soaking in the atmosphere. It was pretty cool. And then the time happened that the first contact happened. So when someone first spots that moon moving in front of the sun, and it's barely perceptible at first, and often you'll find that someone shouts out, they see it, and then you're looking through your filters, and then suddenly it's like, yeah, there's no mistaking that. Part of the sun is missing. And it's a really cool moment because you actually think, you know, we've been able to calculate this. We've been able to predict it to the second, to the millisecond, and that this is actually happening. So I remember feeling that was quite an exciting moment. And so we were standing up, we were celebrating the fact that it was happening. There's a bit of a stir in the crowd around us. But then as time went on, it kind of gets a bit slower because what you're doing is you're just watching the progression of the moon in front of the sun. You look through your filters, you see it every once in a while, but you kind of then, you know, you look away and you do other things, drink wine. Don't judge me. and as time went on, you know, like we would look every once in a while, but it was kind of like very low key and relaxed. But then once the moon was about 70% covered, we started to notice that, you know, the temperature was dropping a little bit, the wind was picking up, and the light just looked a bit different, and our shadows looked a bit strange. And we noticed that there were birds flying around as well. And so it was almost like they were going home to roost. You know, they were doing something different. But once the moon was about 90 to 95% covered, there were real dramatic changes. And this is where it gets so exciting. You know, those 10 minutes before the total eclipse. That's when you want to be there. That's when you want to get outside. That's what you don't want to miss. Because things started to happen that was quite rapid. What I noticed was that the light was really quite eerie, and it felt like I was on a movie set rather than being outside. So normally the brightness from the sun is quite diffuse, but because the moon was mostly covering it, it was only coming from a particular part of the sun. So it just felt like you're under spotlights or something. The light was very eerie. The temperature had dropped, and it was quite cold. And I remember the wind had picked up, and so it was quite windy. We were on the coast. And then we were 5 minutes away from totality, and that's when it really started to get strange. You could actually feel and sense something big was coming our way. And you could actually feel and see a bit of the darkness that was coming towards us. So do you know how before a storm you can get that quite eerie feeling? It's dark, it's eerie. You pick up in the environment. Part of your body is actually saying something's coming, something's big. Well, it was like that. And I had no idea that this was going to be like that. You know, I knew that the moon was going to move in front of the sun, but I didn't know that I was actually going to be feeling really quite eerie. And there was a part of me that was thinking, you know, this a real primal part thinking that this is big, this is wrong. You know, something felt wrong. And then as time got closer and closer, it was really dramatically different. And then, you know, I remember seeing the darkness coming in and just thinking, you know, I don't know. I remember getting goosebumps and getting the hair on the neck, the back of my neck was standing up. And then just all of a sudden, so the moon's shadow suddenly reached us and it was just like someone turned a dimmer switch off. It was the most thrilling, exciting moment. People were screaming out. I was screaming out. I can't remember what I was saying, but it was so thrilling and exciting. And I had no idea that was going to happen quite like that. And then suddenly we were standing in totality. We were looking without our filters on. We were looking where the sun was. And it looked like there was a hole where the sun should be. And I know that sounds really strange, but I'm sure when you see it in a couple of months, you will absolutely understand what I'm talking about. There was like a hole in the sky. And I remember looking up and it was very dark. And looking around, you know, people were just jumping, cheering, shouting. It was just so thrilling and so exciting. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it was, you know, you couldn't help but notice. And this is what I mean, that you don't have to have any equipment. You don't have to have telescopes. All you need is your filters. And then you just need to be there in that moment. And you can't help notice all these things that are happening to you. So those changes and what was happening, I remember standing there looking at it and just then the corona was appearing and I just couldn't believe how beautiful it was. I just can't convey how unbelievable it was. It was like we were in a different world, that the ordinary world just didn't exist anymore. Because one moment before we were actually standing in, you know, sunlight. And that morning the sun had risen and then just a few hours later the sun was gone. It was a really very strange feeling, very disorienting. And I remember starting to feel really weird things, like I was having very strong thoughts about the fact that I completely understood how primitive people would have felt if they were standing right where I was. And can you imagine what that would have felt like? Like we knew what was happening and it was still so thrilling and exciting and very eerie there. But I kept thinking, can you imagine what that would have been looking like? That you would just be going about your daily life and then suddenly the sun disappeared. How terrifying that would have been. And I was standing there at that moment feeling that I completely understood that. So it was almost like that I was connecting with our ancestors from the past. It was a very strong feeling of connection. And I also felt that I could be connecting to people in the future too. So I had this sense that it didn't really matter. Time did not matter. What was mattered was that I was a human being at that particular moment. Didn't matter whether I was in the past or future, I would have felt the same. And so there's this intense feeling of connection. And it was almost like I understood that it doesn't matter your color, your religion, your background, your culture. Really none of that matters because everything is stripped away during totality. And I also felt completely insignificant. I mean, I had this sense of how vast and powerful the universe was. And when you really think about it, you're standing, that darkness that you're in, you are standing in the shadow of the moon. And therefore, that means that there's a solid object out there, and it's huge, and it's casting this shadow, and that's the shadow you're standing in. Now, I think, you know, that absolutely blows me away, because it's like you're experiencing the universe in three dimensions, and then you really get the sense of how vast the whole place is. It's incredible. So you feel very insignificant, but you feel part of something greater, too. You feel connected to nature, Earth, humanity, the universe. You're at one with the world, whatever you want to say. Some people have a religious connection at that moment. But whatever it is, people often say that it's a feeling of strong connection. So I felt that as well. And I had no idea I was going to be feeling these really profound moments. But all these things were going around in my head and I was just caught up in the moment. And then it was clear that it was just about to be over. So you could sense that it was coming to an end. And then just as quickly, the light came back so dramatically. And then suddenly, you know, even though 99% of the moon was of the sun was still covered, after the darkness of totality, it just feels so bright. And all the light has come back and the shadow moves away. And I remember at that moment, it was so thrilling and exhilarating. And the crowd again was screaming and shouting. But you also felt this sense of loss that you didn't want it to be over. And this huge sense of you need to see it again. I mean, I just couldn't believe how dramatic it was and that intense feeling of, when's the next one? I mean, that was the first thing that I felt, first question that I asked. And I turned to my partner at that point and, you know, we connected and it was just like we had no words. My throat was just closed up with emotion. We looked around us and there were people in tears. It was so moving and so unexpected. And I think that was the point that I became an eclipse chaser. I had no idea that there were people called eclipse chasers. I didn't know that that was a thing. And at that point, we didn't have smartphones and I couldn't look up when the next one was. So I actually had to wait for about 2 or 3 days by the time I got home. And I was so desperate to know, when's the next one? And then I got home and then I realized, I did a bit of research and I realized it was, you know, the following year or in 2001. And the path of totality was going to go across South Africa and Madagascar. And I got so excited because Madagascar was one of those places that really drew me. And that was on my one of my list of places to go and see. And I just thought, wow, how amazing that I can go to a country, experience some travel and some amazing culture, nature events, and see a total solar eclipse. And I was just beside myself with excitement. So I booked on a very small group tour because it was a very difficult place we had to get to. And then we made our way to Madagascar. And there were no roads where we needed to get to, so we had to travel along the coast in dugout canoes for several days, stopping on the beach, sleeping on the beach, and then carrying on. And this time, the total solar eclipse was happening at sunset. And so we were just simply sitting on the beach. The eclipse started, the partial phase started. We were sitting there with our filters on. And then time got closer and closer, and those same things started to happen again, like the temperature was dropping. The wind was picking up, and it's like nature starts to breathe. You get this real sense that the world is breathing, and then everything pauses really close to totality time. It's like everything's holding its breath, and you notice the darkness coming in, and again, your hair on the back of your neck stands up. You get goosebumps. It is so thrilling and exciting. And then the same again, and we're standing again in the shadow of the moon under totality, and it was thrilling, absolutely incredible. And we were with a much smaller group, and it felt very powerful. You know, the first time was with a huge crowd, and it was amazing and thrilling and exciting, and it was the same thing, but we were a smaller group, and we felt so connected with everybody. And that second one, I thought, do you know what? This is not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This is not me just doing it again. This is something that I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. So I actually knew that this is something that it has changed my life because I needed to see it again and again. And so now, whenever there's a total solar eclipse, it's not even a question about, am I going to see it? And in fact, when people say, are you going to see the eclipse in 2020? I actually laugh because it sounds so funny to hear that. Of course I'm going to see it. And now it's the situation that it's a default that I'll see it, but something may get in the way that stops me from seeing it. And that's a very difficult thing when that happens. But that's just how eclipse, that's the life of an eclipse chaser. It becomes so much more than just 2 minutes of totality. It actually becomes almost a way of life, a way we think about things. It changes and challenges the way you think about things and the world. And it makes you, just appreciate things and become very humble. And so I've traveled now quite a few countries around the world. The T's are the total eclipses, the A's are the annular eclipses. An annular eclipse is when the moon is further away from the Earth, and so it's actually not perfectly covering the sun. It doesn't block the light of the sun, and it leaves a little ring. So it's almost like a total eclipse, but you still miss the main features. So I've been to a number of places, but you can see that North America is a bit of a... there hasn't been one for a long time. So in the 18 years that I've been chasing, we haven't had a chance to come to the US until now. Now, I mentioned before that I'm a psychologist. That's my job. So I don't just swan around the world chasing eclipses, you know. Can't afford to do that. So you actually have to have a day job to be able to afford to do these things because it can be an expensive hobby. But us eclipse chasers actually make choices that we tend to live quite frugally or we spend our money in different ways. We actually spend our money on experiences rather than material possessions. And this is what allows us. So it's not like we're more you know, more wealthier than other people. It's just that we prioritize things in a different way. So I would have my day job of being a psychologist, and every 18 months or so on average, I would go on these amazing epic adventures somewhere around the world and have these really profound moments in totality. But I was also having very profound moments in my clinical profession, because I worked, you know, for a good 14 years or so as a pediatric clinical psychologist. I was working in hospitals with children and families who were experiencing life-limited and chronic illness. And what I discovered, well, what I was really intrigued about is the moments that you learn about, you know, when you're experiencing loss, and I'm sure that everybody here knows what I mean here. When you're in a position where you're experiencing loss, you gain some really important insights. You start to understand how important and precious life is. You start to realize that it's not the materialistic things that are important. It's the people we spend our time with and the experiences that we have. And those moments, when you're close, you know, when you're working with people who are close to their death, you really develop some pretty, you know, pretty hard lessons about life, and it really changes you. But I was interested in the parallels between my life in that setting, but also the lessons that I was learning during a total solar eclipse, because to me they felt very similar, except that you didn't have to experience loss during a total eclipse to actually have these life insights. In fact, you felt opposite. It was empowering. It was very positive and thrilling and exciting. And so as a psychologist, that's when I really became interested, because I was seeing eclipses again and again, and I was thinking, do you know what? There's something really special about this experience that we really need to understand more. We need to understand why it is that we can get these life insights in these moments. And so that's when I really, you know, I had seen about 4 total eclipses by that point. And that's when the seeds were sown about, yes, I'm going to research this a bit further. And fast forward a few years, and then I published my first book. Now, you get a sense from the title, right? Total Diction. I researched eclipse chasers because I wanted people to be able to talk in depth about what it was like to see a total solar eclipse. And for me to do my research, I need people to give a lot of detail about what's going on. And then I analyze that, pull it all apart, and then try and break it down into the key aspects of it so that we can communicate that to other people. And so this is where the bearded men came about. Okay, so these are all the interviews that I did. But I did some really interesting research there, and I published that book. But I think what I want to highlight from that bit of research is that there are 3 aspects to the eclipse experience. There's the intellectual appreciation, and by that I mean the facts and figures of the eclipse. The fact that in any one location it only happens once every 375 years, but it happens every 18 months somewhere around the world. The other fact that it happens because of a coincidence in scale. The diameter of the moon is 400 times smaller than the diameter of the sun, but the sun is 400 times further away. So it's the same apparent size in the sky. And that's what perfectly makes the circumstances to create a total solar eclipse, allowing us to see the sun's corona. So it's a real coincidence there. So these are the intellectual appreciation aspects of it. And this is often what we hear about. This is what we read about in the newspapers and our, you know, the research that we do about eclipses when we're trying to figure out how to see one and what it's all about. But the second aspect is the immersive experience. And these are the things that, you know, that I had no idea. When I saw my first total eclipse, I thought I knew what was going to happen, but I really had no idea. And these are the things that we try and that I try and communicate. So it's how it feels, because it's one of those rare astronomical events that it really has an impact on you. Most of the times you actually have to, you know, you observe something from far away and you need telescopes to see that. A total solar eclipse, if you're outside, it happens to you. And so it's the, you know, the temperature changes, the light changes, the goosebumps that it gives you, the hair on the back of your neck standing up. All those things are the immersive aspects of it all. Just how it changes the environment around you. So don't forget, when you're looking at it, don't just look up, look around you. But then the third aspect is the transformative aspect. So this is capturing the ways in which it changes the way you think about the world. And it really is the most awe-inspiring event. And awe is a really interesting emotion, because when we experience awe, It usually is, we're in the presence of something that's really powerful and we feel it's greater than us. So we can be in awe of something very beautiful, like music, art, a nature scene, like the Grand Canyon, beautiful sunset. But we can be in awe of people as well. So you might have someone that you are totally in awe of, and it's because you feel that there's something greater there. And so when we feel awe, it sometimes actually changes the way we think about things, and that's why it can be transformative. And boy, do we feel awe during a total solar eclipse. So those are the three aspects that I try and communicate, because I think that's the important bit, because people want to know what it's like. You know, why do you need to get into the path of totality? This is it. So now I believe we have a way of communicating these things, because before that, when you asked someone what it was like to experience a total eclipse, it's really hard to capture all that in quite neat sound bites. But I think, you know, just some of the research that I've been doing has been allowing us to communicate that in a clearer way. So what does this mean for you? I have a definition that I like to use. So I think this captures quite a bit. A total solar eclipse is a meaningful life event. It's an awe-inspiring and fully immersive natural wonder that will be remembered for a lifetime. Now, there are lots of things these days that are hyped up in social media. So it's like you can't even have a full moon anymore. It's got to be like a super-duper, you know, magical full moon. So there's a lot of hype, and then when people go see these things and they think it's nothing out of the ordinary, so people are sort of switching off to the hype. But if there's one thing that actually is worthy of the hype, it's a total solar eclipse. And if there's one thing that's going to break the internet, it's a total solar eclipse. And again, you guys are in the right place at the right time, almost the right place at the right time. And I can't keep stressing that, how lucky you are. It's like the communities in the path of totality have hit the celestial jackpot. And a lot of them are using this opportunity to actually do something unique and different, to get themselves out there while the eyes of the world are watching. And so you might have heard some of these really small communities actually doing amazing stuff, which is incredible. So, because you live on the edge of the path of totality, sometimes it's useful to know what's the difference between a total and partial eclipse. They are miles apart. So, you remember I said that you only see, you can only use your filters. There's no point during a partial eclipse that you can take them off. So, you don't actually see or experience, you will experience the dropping of the temperature. If you're staying in Omaha, you will experience a drop of the temperature. You will possibly start to pick up on that creeping feeling or the ominous thing that's going to come, but it doesn't quite get to you. And that's all it is. And then you don't actually see any of the visual spectacular things that happen during a total solar eclipse. So it's kind of like a partial eclipse, but because you're close to the path, you'll kind of get a sense of it, but it's not anything like it. Whereas if you just travel quite I don't even know how many miles it is, 10 miles, 15 miles. In my book, I use a metaphor of a chocolate lava cake. Now, do you know what a chocolate lava cake is? Yeah, so it's one of those, if you're a chocolate lover, this is the ultimate. It's one of those chocolate cakes that actually has a melted middle on it, and then you put your spoon in it, it just goos everywhere, and it's just awesome, right? So imagine you're having a chocolate lava cake, and you order it, and the waiter puts it down in front of you, because it's hard to make when it's really like that. And then you smell, and it's just awesome. It's just so rich and incredible. And then you have your first taste of it, and the gooey middle comes out, and it's just, you can't believe it. And then the first mouthful, the textures are amazing, and then it's just incredible. I mean, I'm sure it's not just me. We have chocolate lovers here, right? But it is one of the most awesome experiences. Now, imagine that the total solar eclipse is like that. It's a full-on immersive experience that is just incredible. You love it. Seeing a partial eclipse is like seeing a photo of a chocolate lava cake. Okay? You get none of the experiences. You think you know what's, you can recognize what it is, you can see what it is, but you get none of the goodness of it at all. So that's kind of like a metaphor or a similarity between the partial and the total eclipse. So I've mentioned before that it's not just the 2 minutes of totality or however long in totality is. It's not just about that. Because a lot of people say to me, you travel around the world for 2 minutes or a minute. or I had one in 2005 that we went to 800 miles even further east of the Galapagos Islands. It was quite a remote spot to get to. 28 seconds. So, you know, but it's not that we just travel for that 28 seconds. So I think I've explained that it's actually so much more than that. So just to summarize then, we said that you're in the almost the right place at the right time. And all of you seem to be getting into the path of totality. So that's pretty cool. The message really, again, is to reinforce that it can be for everybody. Everybody can enjoy this. Ordinary people, and it's ordinary people's stories that, you know, even how I tell my story and the stories in my book that really convey what it's like to experience a total solar eclipse. So if you're interested in what I do, my website is beinginteshadow.com. I'm on Facebook, and I'm quite active on Facebook as well. So if you're interested in that, you can follow me on Facebook and interact with me as well, because I love hearing from people who I know and people who I meet. And I'd love to know how you go with the eclipse. And I'm on Twitter as well. Thank you, Omaha!
You've been listening to a lecture program from the University of Nebraska at Omaha on Noon Forum. We've heard a talk by Kate Russo, a clinical psychologist and author of several books on the phenomenon of the total solar eclipse, including Total Addiction, The Life of an Eclipse Chaser, Totality, The Total Solar Eclipse of 2012 in Far North Queensland, and Being in the Shadow, Stories of the First Time Total Solar Eclipse Experience. She spoke on the topic, Total Solar Eclipse, Not Just for Geeks and Bearded Men with Telescopes. In 2 weeks, on Monday, August 21st, at midday, a total solar eclipse will take place in a large part of Nebraska. I'd like to reiterate what Dr. Russo said in her talk. It is perfectly safe to look at a total solar eclipse with the naked eye. But by no means look directly at a partial solar eclipse without special protective glasses designed to filter out the sun's ultraviolet rays, which can cause permanent eye damage. These glasses are available for a small fee at the Mallory Kuntz Planetarium on the University of Nebraska at Omaha campus. One further warning from Dr. Russo, do not look at a partial solar eclipse even while wearing protective glasses with a telescope or binoculars. Binoculars and telescopes need their own solar filters to view safely. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, June 27, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Charlie Reed, Associate Director of Media Relations, in the University of Nebraska at Omaha Office of University Communications, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.